Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Welcome to Horror Night Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How are you this week, sir?
Good. Today was kind of a very, very long day.
Yeah, but we did not have a show last week. We decided to take that show off because there was nothing really noteworthy to bring up. And within that time span, I had a premonition, Matt Hardy. I had an idea for September because we've been doing, you know, our marathons pretty much a lot of every month. We've been having a marathon almost this year, and it's been the one thing we've been, you know, really psyched and happy to do. And we're going to still, you know, so many other marathons coming up here in the next couple months, but I just felt like, you know what, there's a couple films coming out, big films, in September, and why not just do a clown theme? So that's what we're doing for the entire month of September, as I called it, the Colorgoria Marathon. So we're going to do clown-themed centric horror films. We got one tonight with another film that kind of we wanted to bring up, not clown-related. But we have that other film to talk about here shortly. We'll start the show off with that. Then we get into our first clown film for our Colorgoria Marathon. And then, of course, next week we'll have It Chapter 2 and another film to go along with it. And I believe after that we will have Three from Hell, which I'm looking forward, you know, a very limited 3-day event screening. It's going to be happening after Scarefest, so it'll be a Three from Hell Scarefest show, and then we'll figure out the last couple weeks. I have some ideas. I know one more film that'll be next week's film along with It Chapter 2. But it's going to be packed. I've already got this show this month planned. We're good. It's going to be awesome. So that's going to be a great, great marathon of films. I don't know, great is a good word, but especially with our first feature for tonight, for our clown themes. But we'll get into that a little bit later. So the first thing we are going to talk about is, honestly, we should discuss some trailers, but when we get into our reviews, we tend to go on. I'll just say this, that there were two trailers, the Black Christmas remake trailer from Blumhouse. I did not care for it. I'll just say that up front. I don't know if you watched it, Ian.
I haven't seen anything about that, actually.
Yeah, well, the Black Christmas remake coming out this December, it does not look good, and they kind of give away everything in the trailer, like literally every fucking plot point. So there's like no reason to see it, and it comes out on my birthday, so that's happy birthday to me. I have to see that shit. And then there's another one that came out a few days ago called Killer Sofa. It's about a killer reclining chair, Lazy Boy, but it's called Killer Sofa. It looks stupid. So that's something. If you haven't seen the trailer for Killer Sofa, do yourself a favor and check it out because it's dumb as shit. And I probably will review it on the show because I want to. But our first film for tonight, this is one that the trailer, I know, came out, I believe we talked about it, Ian, like towards the very end of 2017. I'm positive it was around that time. And it was like one of those films, like is it coming to theaters? You know, like that's like one of the big trailers, you know, as soon as it was released. Everyone was like, oh, Itsy Bitsy. And our film is Itsy Bitsy. And the trailer looked pretty good. It's, you know, practical, sort of practical, killer spider, giant spider movie. And, you know, a year goes by, and, you know, year and a half goes by, and nothing until here recently when it got picked up by Scream Factory, and it's going to be released here shortly. It's already out on, you know, VOD and all that stuff, but physical copies and all that. So Itsy Bitsy it's a weird one. It's a weird one. I'm not saying that in, like, it's a killer spider movie. It's weird. It's because it's everything else except a killer spider movie almost. And that's the thing that, like, threw me off, because when that trailer comes on and you see it and you're like, wow, this is going to be an interesting, you know, killer spider movie, you know, about this egg or something, you know, like this Mayan tribe's egg, and it's like a curse, and there's a, you know, a spider inside of it, and then you get it, and it's a family drama. But anyway, we'll get into that. So the film is about Kara, and she's a single mom, and her two children, Jesse and Cambria, are driving from New York. I believe they're from New York. To another state to take care, because their mother, Kara, is a nurse aide. She helps with people, but she's also dealing with, there's a lot of baggage that she's dealing with. She's driving across country or states over, wherever she's going, to take care of Walter Clark or Mr. Clark or Walter. I don't know exactly what I'm going to call him, probably Walter. He has this massive collection of artifacts and tomes and statues and African, you know, tribes, you know, artifacts and basically everything, you know, just a big massive supply of, like, artifacts and hard to find stuff that, you know, any collector would, you know, have. The film starts out with, you know, a little bit of a backstory of how technically our spider came to be. It's about, you know, this tribes in the, you know, middle of the, technically of the forest or rainforest or wherever they are. And there's some kind of thing that happened with Walter's wife, and it caused, because there's a lot of stuff going on here. Like, you don't get a, it's glimpse, you know, it's glances and few, you know, here and there. There's not,
yeah, just,
they don't really give you a lot about everything, but there's this African-American, the black guy, I assume he's a black guy, but he has, like, these marks on his cheek, three marks on his cheek, and apparently he was raised by Walter and his wife, I assume, adopted in a sense, and he goes with a couple people, and the basically kill the people that apparently did something to Walter's wife, and they take this giant egg that has all this, you know, hieroglyphs and symbols and all kinds of stuff around it. And so you have that story arc going with Kara and her kids. And Jesse, he's kind of an ass in a sense, because, like, he's like a good ass though, because, like, he wants, like, the best for his mom, but, like, he doesn't like the fact that he has to move because she lost her job the first time, and she's also going through the loss of her youngest child in a car accident, and going with the grief and depression and, you know, taking pain relievers and stuff like that to cope with everything. And she's taking this job, and the black guy, he hands the egg over to Walter, and Walter's just gonna keep it and everything because there's like a legend and a curse and everything to the egg. And the black guy, he doesn't care, so he just, I spit on your curse, and breaks the egg open, which causes our spider to come out of hibernation, in a sense, and go on a rampage. And it, technically, it's supposed to be a rampage, but it's not. It's very subdued, but it is very practical in its nature of the spider. There's parts of it where I didn't know if it was like mechanical, like puppetry, or if it was stop motion. There's little parts there where like I was kind of confused because it kind of blurred the lines a little.
I actually liked the spider.
Yeah, the spider was pretty cool. It's no CGI. Well, again, I don't know if there was CGI in parts of it or not, especially like when it was going up in the bed when it was about to attack, when it was attacking Walter. Like that looked a little bit CG. But it could have been practical. I don't know. I have to see the making of special feature on the DVD, see if it's what's real and what's not. But the spider looked good. And the way they used the spider, it was efficient. They made it sort of creepy in a sense. And just the way that it looked, it was like, it goes through two phases. You think, oh, this is pretty big, and then it gets bigger. Not like crazy arachnophobia big or eight-legged freaks big, it's decent enough for what it's going for. It's not trying to be too crazy.
Oh, I like it like that.
Yeah. But like I said, it's not exactly a crazy spider attack film. It has its moments. It has some good, technically gore with the bite and the venom and what it does to you. But it's a very, like I said, it's a very odd film because it is a family drama with Kara and all her depression and anxiety and what she's trying to go through. There's just a lot of like sort of down, depressing sort of moments, especially like with like Jesse and like his Cambria, his sister, and what goes on later on in the film, especially with like the mom with Kara. It's just like it's not a bad movie. It's just definitely something you kind of didn't expect. It's like when I was watching, I was like thinking of The Darkness, the Kevin Bacon movie. I keep bringing that up, but like where like each character in that film always had something wrong or something, some secret, and it was like really down in a sense. Like Jesus, the kid's has Down syndrome. The father's of cheating on his wife. The mother's alcoholic. Well, I think the mother's an alcoholic and the daughter was bulimic. Just like, Jesus, this is weird. And then all of a sudden there's this poltergeist type curse going on. That's exactly sort of how this one is, but with the giant, killer spider instead. There's just all these things going about it. And it makes it a weird watch in a sense. I mean, am I correct in this saying it is kind of just a weird, odd watch compared to what it's, with a film like this?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, at least if you add it all up, like 15 minutes worth of, like, spider. 15, maybe 20 minutes. And an hour and a half watch. So you got over an hour of just family drama. And it, honestly, if you take out the giant spider, it was pretty much be a Lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. But
the kid he's going through. I keep bringing up that, but there's all this stuff like with Jesse going over there, not listening to his mother. Like you don't go over there to the Walter's house, and he goes in it, and then he steals a little statue off the counter, and then he goes and he has it, and then the daughter, his sister's like, you shouldn't have done that, and then he's like recollecting his thoughts, and then he decides to take it back, and there's like a lot of things. It's like a after school special, like this is the ups, and this is what you shouldn't have done that, Timmy, It's just like one of those things with like a giant spider tossed into it. But go on, Ian. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. I felt, though, the mother's addiction, that felt pretty realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not going in too much, but, you know, that's something similar to that happened with me. With my mother, she was addicted to Adderall. And so I felt, I actually, like, was pretty believable with the mother and the son. That was pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Hank, I was like, I mean, it wasn't a bad watch at all. You know, but it did feel like just like a Lifetime movie to me. And just adding, like, I've seen a couple of horror movie Lifetime, you know, originals. And it honestly kind of went by the same way with a more of a darker tone to the film. And
that's another
thing I liked about that movie was when the spider was being all haunty. Like, it kind of felt like the, I'll need to rewatch it just to make sure I'm not, like, imagining it, but, like, the camera went, you know, like, the lighting went darker, and it was always, like, darker when it involved the spider, and a little bit lighter when it came to the family.
So I was just like,
I don't know. This is some nice imagery in the movie. But,
yeah, it just wasn't as, like, what you would kind of expect by the, you know, going off the trailers. It's one of those where it's just completely different. I mean, it has everything. Again, it has basically everything you'd want, but it's just, again, it's a very different type of killer spider movie where, as, you know, we said, it's more family drama with hints of a spider attacking people and causing them to, you know, die in various ways. And it's, you know, like, again, the spider's good. I like the spider. I like what the spider does, and it's a vicious fucking spider, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Smart,
he,
too.
Well, she, yeah, very smart. Yeah. And there's a good little, you know, like some red herring stuff here and there with the spider. I like that part. In the attic, and then what it, you know, and just like everything, again, the spider stuff works, you know, it's just, you just kind of want a little bit more, but again, it kind of has everything it needs, but it's just, again, that family aspect kind of just throws you for a loop a little bit, and just makes you, you know, like, well, it wasn't bad, but it was different, you know, it was just odd, because it's just weird to see that, it's like the Babadook with a spider, you know, it's weird.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I was kind of when I saw the trailer the first time, I was hoping for a more serious, you know, giant insect movie. Because, you know, usually they're just goofy. And you don't really see a whole lot of, like, serious movies. And I was kind of like, it's really what I wanted. I mean, and it was.
It was
what, you know. It kind of met my expectations. I just wish, you know, there was more spider.
Mm-hmm.
Because that thing was creepy. I mean, I was getting, I'm not going to lie, I was getting the heebies. Because, you know, I don't mind spiders, but when they're the size of a house cat, kind of makes you cringe a little bit. And I'm like, I like that.
Yeah, they kept it reasonable. I mean, it's like Australian spiders, you know. It's like the pictures you see of spiders in Australia. It's like, oh, Jesus, I don't want to go anywhere there. So they kept it, you know, it's just a little bit bigger, you know, exaggerated. But it kind of makes sense to the whole legend curse thing that the egg has.
Yeah.
They do leave it off for a potential sequel. And I already know the title of that one. I'm pretty sure you do too, Ian. But I don't want, again, itsy bitsy spiders. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Up the water spout.
Yeah. But since there's more of them, they won't be just itsy bitsy spider. It'll be spiders. But again, I don't know how that was, you know, there's a lot of films that end that way and never get a sequel. So I'm not, it's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's not too bad. It's just it's an odd watch. But again, if you like that, you know, like I said, it's dark. It's not depressing. You know, it's no Hereditary or anything like that. But it just has a lot of family. You know, as we said, after school, Lifetime family movie with morals and, you know, trying to deal with depression and all that stuff, loss of a child. And it's not bad. It just, again, it's an odd watch. Had some good spider moments. And, you know, I guess that's really all I can really say about it. Ian, any final thoughts?
The whole opening, I could not think of anything other than Dead Alive.
Mm-hmm.
The entire opening, I was just like, this is literally it. The guy with glasses who is fleeing happens to have gotten bitten, and we all know how that turned out. Was pretty much the same premise of, like, you know, rare artifact. And the only difference was, you know, instead of like a rare type of monkey that's being, you know, illegally captured from the zoo to put in a zoo, it was going to be put in a museum. And, you know, I just was like, wow, they really ripped off Dead Alive with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost the entire, like, scene. And I just was like... But I'm glad it didn't turn out like that, because I was kind of getting worried that it was going to be, like, a, you know, similar situation with how goofy that movie is. Campy, I should say. But, yeah, no, it was a pleasant watch, and I definitely probably will watch it again. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's going to do it for our first review of the night of Itsy Bitsy. And now that we got all the cobwebs out of the way, we can finally begin our Colorgoria marathon. And what a film we chose tonight. Oh, Jesus, Ian. It's always with the very first films in these marathons that are just the worst. You know, like Krampus Origins, and then for some fucking reason, I'm still thinking Beaster Day, you know, because it was just so weird. But then that one turned out to be, you know, the best one almost of the whole bunch. For not the obvious reasons, it was just so bad, it's, you know, sort of good. But we have Clown Motel. Clown Motel. This is directed by Joseph Kelly, who did a few films called, one was Community Service, the movie, which I have seen. Then he did a sequel to that called Bloody Island, which I have not seen. Community Service is pretty hard to find. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime, but I have the DVD. I found it off eBay for like $12. So I bought the DVD, and it's an okay slasher. It's nothing that great. It's like 70 minutes or shorter. It's just kids getting picked off by a dude in a mask, half mask, big burly dude with fuzzy, you know, hair. Looks like the hair like from the lead singer of Coheed and Cambria almost a little bit. But yeah, this is his latest juncture, Clown Motel. And there's another film called Clown Motel that I don't even think is out yet. But there's like two films around the same time about clown motels. So this one, Joseph Kelly's film, it starts out with these people. I don't know exactly who are the prospectors, I guess. I have no idea. But there's this clown motel that is literally a safe haven for clowns, in a sense. And they have gold that they want. And so the people decide to burn the clown motel down, but they don't take the gold in it for some fucking reason. It doesn't make fucking clear what the reasoning behind it. Like, they want the gold, and then, like, they don't do anything. And then Ari Lehman, who's, you know, of course everyone knows Ari Lehman is the very, you know, child Jason, first Jason. He's in there as a clown, and there's this little girl, and she's like singing. They're all having fun. There's all varieties of different clowns. And then you only get to see two of them later on in the film for the majority of it. So, three, technically three, four. There's not that many. Just say that. It's just they all combined. You don't really know. So they burn the place down, and then you never see that little girl ever again. Very end of the movie. I was like thinking that like she was gonna be there to tell everyone to stop, you know, put a end to it at the end. But no, you don't have that. You get a weird story arc instead, about a diary. I'll just say that much. Honestly, I'm interested in just going all full out spoilers with this one because there's really nothing here. So anyway, they burn the place down, and then we have our present day. Again, I don't know exactly what year when they burned down the Clown Motel, but anyway, we have like three dudes, Chris, Ian, and Spencer. They're ghost hunters for their YouTube channel, and they just go to various places and look and see if anything's haunted, and they just do this, do that. And they do the worst fucking thing that I hate in anything is montages where they act stupid. Like they're cracking open beers, smoking, pot and getting high. And they do that for both sides of the dudes and the ladies. And I hate that in a movie. I know it's cliched, it's out there, but I just hate that where they're acting stupid and they're bug-eyed and like, ooh, stuff like that. It's stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
So that kind of got on my nerves. It's like, and the whole film kind of did.
Yeah.
So we have that. That's the dudes, and they're driving back. And then we get introduced to the girl aspect, which is, I think Brooke is the bachelorette. She's getting married in a couple of days. And then we have Casey, Kristen, Lily, and Gemma. Let's see. I'm thinking, those are the names. I'm trying to pinpoint which one's which. Because that's the one thing about the film.
The black-haired girl.
Yeah, Emma's the one with the wig later on in the end. And then the one that I think's gorgeous is Kristen, the one that's Velma looking. I can't wait to dig into what happened to her. Because she was like the most standout character in just that, really. So they're in Vegas and they're coming back or going to California or somewhere. And they're both going opposite ways, and they're on the road, they're on this highway, and they go through this fog in a sense, and the most god awful digitally imposed clown motel on the side of the road is there on the top of the hill off to the side of the road. And they're like, oh, look, it's a clown motel. You know, like, we don't need to stop there. And so they just drive, and then they run into the the ghost chasers in the RV. They do the stupidest thing. They're both driving down the road. And again, it makes sense because they're high and drunk, so it kind of whatever. But, like look out, and they're just, like, they swerve, and, like, the swerve that hit the car and then swerve to miss the car. So it's kind of a dumb thing. But anyway, I digress. You have to see it to understand it. I think Ian knows one. You know, that scene was dumb as shit. But the three guys decide to stop because they run out of gas in their RV. And then the girls find, like, they've been driving for an hour, and they just decide to stop at the clown motel. Like, they realize, like, okay, we've been driving for an hour, and this clown motel's still there. You know, like, they think it's nothing, but they pull off, and then they all reconcile, and they talk, and, you know, do stuff. And there's no one there at the clown motel, just a bunch of figurines in the office of the clown motel. And just for the first half, there's really nothing. You know, the first day, they drink, they party, the girls pillow fight, they get to know each other a little bit. And then they just, you know, then the clowns kind of suddenly appear for some reason. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They just show up. But yet only three show up, right? They just show up outside the window. And they write, you know, blood, like, enjoy the show on the window of the hotel room. And they all think it's a prank, and they're all like, we need to get out of here, we need to do this. And so then they start getting attacked by a couple clowns, and then every time that one of them die, like get actually killed, then that reincarnates the spirit of another clown that's dead. And they come in through the graveyard, but actually they come in from a cave. But it doesn't make sense. Like, it comes in through the graveyard. A few of them does. The first one does. Remember the little guy?
Yeah.
He comes in through the graveyard, but then the other one comes in through the cave, and he goes through all the cave system. And there's just a lot of things that's wrong. Like, he forgot what is. I'm talking about the director. Like, he doesn't know his own rules in his own universe. Like, there's parts where it just does not make sense. Like, when they take the car battery, like, they slash the girl's tires, right? And they take the car battery out of the RV. Why didn't they take the car battery and slash the tires for both vehicles instead of just one and the other? You know, it didn't make sense.
No, I know.
And then there's just like, go ahead, Ian.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know. I was wondering that myself. I was like, wait, well, why didn't they just slash both tires or both cars? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to take the battery out of this one. I guess we ran out of knives.
Yeah. But then, like,
even
oh, we can take the... Yeah, like the RV has gas, right? But yet they take the battery out. Like, oh, we can just take the battery out of the car, but the car doesn't have gas and it doesn't have tires now. But RV works fine. It has gas. It has tires. Just use the battery. You know, it's just like the dumbest thing. And then we get to the point where the very first clown death comes into play here. And again, these are spirits. These are already dead clowns, right? They're just spirits. They're ghosts or whatever. I don't know exactly what they are, but they're spirits. They're just attacking people, killing them, whatever. For some mischievous, unknown means, they're killing them to raise the other, you know, clown ghosts, spirits, so they can do everything. And so we have the first clown death. I'm not going to say how, but how... You know, like, the clown dies. And like, wait a second, how is the clown dead? Because it's a ghost. It's a spirit. It shouldn't be dead. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're killing these, you know, when some of the clowns do get killed. Like, it doesn't make sense because they're already dead. So, it's a spirit. Like, how do you kill a spirit? It's stupid. It's just one of those things where, like, it doesn't make sense. So, it doesn't make sense. There's, like, parts of this film that I know where they were trying. I know what they were trying to do with it. I have an inkling. Like, there's parts of it that was great. Like, when they first Spencer enters the room and he sees the fat clown with the pig, and he's having sex with the ham. Like, literally, you know, Thanksgiving ham. He's having sex with it. He's humping it. I was like, they should have done that. What I was thinking, like, they could have done. Is what they should have done, but I guess that's budget, is do something totally outlandish. Do something like 2,000 Maniacs, but with clowns. That's what they should have done. That's what I kind of hoping that they were going to do. Once they introduced the fat clown humping the ham, like, okay, go this route. Go a little weird, right? And they don't. They kind of just like have him humping the ham and then, you know, use the camera a little bit later on in the movie, but nothing really crazy. And it's like, oh man, it's just a lost, you know, like what could have been, like, you know, 2,000 Maniacs, but with clowns could have been something else. You know, they could have done like all these, you know, circus acts, you know, sort of Wizard of Gore style, but with the clowns, you know, like you can't really top 2,000 Maniacs, but you could have done something like, made it a little hokey, but it needed to be something because this was just tame, really tame, for what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And then towards the ending of it, like, because they introduced this diary, and, like, everything is going on about this cop that took place in the 70s, and she was, like, saying, oh, you need to do this. My partner's gone. I'm going to the cave. And she's writing in this diary, like, her name's Jane Doe. The detective's name is Jane Doe. Like, yeah, sure.
Right.
And so she says, we need to go to the cave, and there's nothing else. So Kristen, the one that looks like Velma with the glasses, like, we need to go to the cave. We need to do this. And then, like, they get attacked by and they're on the RV and they get attacked. Like, we need to go to the cave. We need to go this way. And then two of them just run to the fucking office building. You know, like, come on. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, you're dumb as shit.
The cave wasn't the best choice either.
No. It wasn't. But, and then there's the whole point of, like, they're going to the cave, and then the one that's technically survives and decides to walk the cave, she doesn't come across the other clown that's resurrected on the way there. Of course, he kind of retconned that by, like, hiding behind rocks. It's all like they're on the same path. There's only one way to the cave, and, like, they don't meet a little bit. It's odd. But then they, like,
yeah,
like you said, the clowns.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, like, but the clowns. You only get Ari Lehman, the fat clown with the pig nose, little clown, and then you get the hobo clown, in a sense. And that's like the four main clowns. Well, the little clown you don't see that often. And Ari's kind of, Ari's clown. You see, he has one good scene, and it's one of the best things. There's like two good things. That's the fat clown humping the ham, and then Ari Lehman's one line of, respect the testicles. That's like the only thing that's like great about it. And then everything else like just does not work. And you're just sitting there like, oh my God, because it just takes forever and like nothing really happens. And then the ending happens and they're trying to do a fucking Fulci bit with the Beyond, with clowns instead. And it just kind of like it could have worked, but then it doesn't make sense to the overall story. Like, okay, where's this at? Is this the same universe? Is this the dead universe? Is this, you know, where's this at? You know, like, here's all the other clowns. But, you know, is it just, so they just shoot, the cave is the entrance to that spectrum, the clown spectrum, apparently. But, yeah, I've went on. I know I didn't have let you have much, but it's just one of those films where there's just so much you want to discuss.
God.
But I'll let you talk.
They definitely need to add a content warning about for epilepsy because the shower scene, I had to look away because it was making me feel sick. Like, and they were doing two colors is fine, but when you they were added, I counted because I stared at the screen for a little bit. There was three different colors, and that's one of the things that can, if it was any faster, it would have caused anyone who watched that to have a seizure. And I was like, this is completely unnecessary because I was like, this is one has nothing to do. Like, the lighting effect is not doing anything. Maybe if it was like from the light bulbs or something, but no, it was just an effect that was random and it took away, like, I could barely see the, like, what was going on, which was like,
well,
I guess
just
the guy's
freaking out, but honestly, there's nothing to it. It was just like, oh, we're going to do this because he's in the shower and he freaks out.
Yeah. And it honestly actually gave me a headache and made me feel sick. Like I said, and there's just some others just pointless, like literally had no point to the movie at all. And, like, what, that lesbian random making out scene? I was like, what? I don't know. I was kind of confused. I started fast, like, it got boring. And I was like, I'm going to fast forward a couple of parts just to that. And I was like, I don't know. It was a very odd movie and one I will not be rewatching. But it definitely had potential there. Even with the clowns that we got. But I was getting kind of confused on the whole, like, because I did notice, I was like, there's a lot more clowns here. And pretty sure, I don't know, I might just be weird, like, you know, just thinking about it. But I thought I saw, like, the people, like all that girl's friends in a window. But
yeah, they were
clowns.
They were, I guess, those are the spirits of them because they had to kill them to raise the other spirits, so they have to replace them, but they're in full clown garb in a motel window.
I didn't. Yeah.
It's kind of a little confusing. And then the Kristen, they didn't even get into Kristen. Like One Clown Resurrection. I think it was Kristen. Yeah, and like she's the one that has the diary the whole time, and the one clown just grabs her, and that's it. Like, oh, nothing. She dies off screen. You don't get to see no resolution. She's like technically the smartest one of the bunch, you know, hence the name Velma.
Yeah.
And she just gets killed off screen, and she's like the only one that's kind of likable, in a sense. And I'm like, oh, that's a dick move. I mean, I know what you're going for. Like, oh, no one's safe, and technically no one is safe in this one. Due to the ending, but it tries to do the Fulci thing, and like there's parts. I mean, if they just, I know it's budget, it's limitation reasons, and you do with what you have, but I felt like it could have been, you know, like I said, 2000 Maniacs, you know, then you can do the whole Fulci Beyond thing at the end, and just kind of make it cohesive a little bit and work.
Yeah.
It just felt like, we got the license or the warrant to shoot on the property, you know, of the clown motel, because I think that one's in Vegas, actual clown motel there.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do whatever, you know, we got the time to do, so we're just going to shoot a movie around it. And they just kind of just like shoehorned everything in there and didn't really flesh everything out. And it just felt disjointed in its execution. And just a lot of things were just like left up in the air. Like, okay, how did he come back? I know that you have to kill someone, and then the clown comes back, but then they do the whole other realm at the end of the movie. They're like, okay, then what's... So that's... The other realm is the exact same place as the real world, but they entered this fog at the beginning of the whole thing started, and it's just there. But it wasn't there on the way. But I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. You're just like, ugh. It's just confusing.
Right. And, oh, I totally lost my train of thought. I was going to say something, and I just completely... I don't know. The movie, some parts, like some of the dialogue to me just felt completely forced. Like, you know, like... So I don't know. It felt like they were, like, reacting, but while reading a cue card, kind of, like, forced to me.
Yeah.
Like, Emma... She had the most, like, it felt most of her lines were forced, like, when all her anger, because she was, like, had no expression on her face, even though she was, like, yelling. And I thought that was kind of, I don't know, it was just a very off-putting movie.
And there was, like, no reaction. She didn't, it was just, like, straightforward, you did this to the dudes. Like, oh, our car tires are slashed. You did it. Like, no, why would they do that? You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. But again,
the
context of the movie. You know,
no,
like,
yeah, and I don't know. It just was a weird movie, and like you said, you know, it forgot its own rules half the time and what they were going for. Like the ghost getting hit in the nuts and. It's like, oh, God, like, would that really affect a ghost? I mean, if it was like a, now I can see if they were getting resurrected. That, but also in the beginning, before they were, you know, killed or whatever, they were like, clowns don't spill blood. They kept saying that, like, you know, solidifying that.
That's the whole thing, as I thought with the little girl at the beginning would come back in.
Yeah, and then
later
you still
on.
See her. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they like, there's like no reason for again the whole thing either because they just stopped there and there's like, they have no, the people aren't connected. They're just random people. Again, that's like again that's most movies. But like they just like random people kill them. We'll get our I guess that's the reason that the other three were there, the Ari Lehman and the hobo and the hog clown, because of they killed the police officer. And the other dude, and so it kind of makes sense, but yeah, I don't know. It's a mess.
Oh.
It's a little bit mess of a movie.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I know one of like in the beginning, didn't one of them like walk like go off? And I guess maybe you know the one with the little doll in the beginning that had like their head was almost completely shaved.
Yeah.
And they walked off saying they were sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
It was just a
yeah,
mess.
I think
but,
maybe.
Ian, that's. I hate to cut you off, but we're going to get cut off.
Oh.
So.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's
going to do it for this week. We got one clown movie in.
Right.
We got two next week with It Chapter 2.